process. Other experience for Paul, from 99 to 04, he was an associate AD at UW La Crosse. He also has experience from the University of Minnesota and the University of Illinois. He received his bachelor's from Bethel University, his master's from the University of Illinois, and his doctorate from the University of Minnesota. As you can see from the title here, he's going to speak on the opportunities and challenges of leading an athletic department in a competitive environment. Dr. Paul Pimentel.
Thank you, Kathy. I'll let the folks behind me take care of things as we try to get ourselves set up for today. And just want to extend my sincere appreciation for being allowed to come to campus and to be a part of this exciting endeavor. On Sunday, I had the opportunity to come to Milwaukee for an interview, so weathered the storm, if you will, made it up here, and was called Sunday night from the search firm chair. I said, well, Paul, you got to be ready to do a presentation on the opportunities and challenges of leading an athletic department in a competitive environment. And you need to do it on Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. And I thought, okay, I can prepare for that. I've done this a little bit. And he said, oh, by the way, it'd be highly recommended that you do a PowerPoint while you're at it. Okay, I think I can do that too. So it's been a tremendous 48 hours for me to prepare for the opportunity to come here to UW-Milwaukee and be a part of your campus and to really invest in this process along with you and to learn more about what you have going on and hopefully what I can contribute to the campus. I've got an opportunity to travel this evening down to Salem, Virginia to be with our football program. And our football team is coming off some tremendous success for the last 6 years, have played in 15 games per year and have competed in the national championship game. Winning two out of the last three. In 2007, we hired this coach that is currently in place, and he's gone 56-3 during this period of time. And he's been National Coach of the Year all 3 years, so this year we're thinking it may be quite the same. Hopefully Saturday will be that outcome, but I'm really excited to put at the forefront today. This morning I had a chance to meet with the chancellor of the campus, and then have transitioned through various individuals, and this afternoon I'll get a chance to meet with a lot of folks in intercollegiate athletics and get a feel for really what's happening and the tenets of what this place believes and kind of the future of the program. So I'd like to start off by just sharing with you a little bit about who I am so you get a feel for what I believe in and what brings me here to Milwaukee. First and foremost, I truly believe that my role, my goal in life, my personal mission statement is to transform the lives of others through influential, positive relationships. And I spent a lot of time on that. Relationships are core to me. They're central to me through integrity, through compassion, through hard work, really through dependability, through accessibility. When I go at home at the end of the day, I want to say that I've been truly a servant leader and that I've made a difference in other people's lives. And for me, I really feel that athletics is the conduit for growth in individuals who are participants, in growth in the coaching staff, in growth in the people that are supporting the student athletes and the coaches. So I formulated this pretty much from my background. My father raised me in the inner city of Minneapolis. I grew up with sports and basketball and football right by my bedside. I had the opportunity to go to Bethel University in St. Paul, a small liberal arts institution where I got my bachelor's degree and I played football and basketball. When I was done with that experience, I was able to transition down to the University of Illinois where I was a graduate assistant in their football program. After the University of Illinois, I went to the University of Minnesota and worked on my PhD while I worked in their athletic department doing development and fundraising and doing some event management. And so for me, those educational and professional backgrounds have helped truly create how I feel about my beliefs, my philosophy, my mission, if you will. And then most recently at University of Wisconsin-La Crosse and University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, I worked in the UW system. So for a total of 11 years, I've been a part of that. So really this background has helped create where I'm at today and what I've been able to develop. Leading an athletic department in a competitive environment is really the topic at hand. And the question that has been asked is how does this get done? And I'd like to do some quote-unquote operational definitions for you so you can understand what each of these different phrases mean to me personally and mean to this whole process. In college athletics, we always look for advantageous circumstances. We're always looking to take advantage of the opponents, their weaknesses, and sometimes their strengths. So there are tremendous opportunities wherever you look in college athletics. There are tremendous challenges as well. Challenges are essentially the purpose of getting involved in competition or a fight or a controversy. And in athletics, that's who we are. We are competitive by nature. We are willing to go after challenges. That's why we compete. That's why we participate in sport. So for me to enter into this discussion with you about the opportunities and challenges, it's important for us to recognize that we're going to put ourselves in an advantageous position, and we're going to embrace the competitiveness that's out there. We're not going to shy away from it. We're not going to shy away from a $10 million structural deficit. We're not going to shy away from the fact that we aren't at the levels we want to be. We're not going to shy away from the fact that in athletics, we can be sometimes segregated from the campus. We need to address the fact that we want to engage all those things. We want to embrace all those things and bring those into who we are and how we're going to be as an athletic department. So the opportunities and challenges that I present to you are hopefully taken as that you can understand them as things that we're going to address quickly, and we're going to address proactively, and we're going to address collectively with the campus, with our athletic staff, with the community, and with those people who support us. Number two is the success in a competitive environment. Success for us is essentially the Horizon League, which transfers on to national success. That success can be defined in a lot of different ways. It can be success in the classroom. It can be success competitively. It can also be success in the All Sports Award. There are a lot of different ways to shape and to form that. But unfortunately, in our society, in our culture, the success comes by way of what the media feel is most important, what they're going to put in the paper, what they're going to put as page one versus page five. So as we move forward, as we look at leading an athletic department in a competitive environment, we're going to really define those things. And hopefully we can do that quickly with the strategic planning that's in place, with the facility development plans that are in place, and with the whole infrastructure of campus and the changes that are taking place with the new administration. Thirdly, we look at this as an opportunity for me to say to you why UW-Milwaukee. Why is it ultimately that I want to come here from UW-Whitewater to help this program take the next steps and to develop? Because you have opportunities, you have challenges, you need a leader that can create an athletic department in a competitive environment. And the question you have to ask yourself is, what type of leader do we want? What type of person do we want in this position? So I will conclude everything with questions, and we'll have some dialogue and hopefully be able to transition this time period forward so you can get a better understanding of who I am. But what I'd like to just start off with is just expressing to you what I truly believe are the four challenges, the four opportunities that exist in the athletic department. When this whole process started officially, it started with a lot of different documentations that were sent from Bill Carr, the one that was assisting the campus with this search. He sent a lot of different information about the critical components of intercollegiate athletics on the campus of UWM. He talked specifically about the things that the campus is looking to do in the next 6 months, the next 12 months. And a lot of those are shaped by what we have here. But as an outsider, as somebody who is 50 minutes away from this campus, I looked informally at UWM and looked at the infrastructure and looked at the current status and tried to assess how things were going. And these are the four things that through this search process and through my background in the UW system that I've kind of identified as the core essence, the core issues that are out there now for UWM. A shared vision is number one. A collective group getting together and saying, who are we going to be? what kind of image are we going to portray to not only the campus, but the community at large? A culture in athletics, in the hallway, in the workout facilities, a culture that happens as it permeates across campus and it infiltrates the rest of the people who are instrumental in how we get things done. Thirdly is our athletic facilities. How we're going to create them so that we can address the needs of our student athletes, so that we can create an environment that is safe, that is secure, and not only for our student athletes, but also the spectators, the people that are going to come to campus and are going to see who we are based on what we put through in our facilities. And then lastly, and probably most importantly, which ties into all of this, is strategic revenue generation. The primary role of the athletic director at this campus is going to be to generate revenue. It's going to be able to unturn some stones that haven't been unturned before, that's going to be able to find some donors that haven't been identified before, that's going to be able to build relationships that haven't been built before, but who's also going to understand the groundwork, who's going to understand the history of this athletic department, that's going to understand what's happened in the past, what's worked, what hasn't worked, and how we think it can work or be changed for the future. So let's start with the shared vision. I truly believe in my experiences at La Crosse and Whitewater, the two most recent and the ones that are related to this position here, that strategic planning has to be comprehensive, it has to be transparent, it has to be fluid. The transparency is necessary because we got to have people to know what's going on. Everybody's got to be a part of this process, and that involves the comprehensive approach. That means that we as a group are going to get together and we're going to talk about these things. We're going to have listening sessions. We're going to have a task force that's going to address all these issues and talk to people. And it's not just the coaches, it's not just the student athletes, but it's community members, it's faculty, it's staff, it's administrators on campus. It's our corporate arena that we're in. It's also got to be fluid, and fluid means it's got to be able to change. It's got to be able to be adaptable. It's got to move with the times. It's got to move with changing administration, changing agendas. So that mission or that plan that needs to be put into place needs to be, number one, collaborative with the campus mission. And that's why we're here. We're all here to support the campus mission. We're here to put in place an understanding of who we're going to be in an urban environment with diversity, with a balanced educational experience, with focus on research and intellectual development. I mean, ultimately, that's what our campus is thriving on. That's what our campus is here for. So where does athletics fit in that? And so it's important that we connect, we collaborate, we build that system. We also need to, once we have this vision that's formulated, we need to be able to communicate it. It's got to be written. It's got to be verbalized. It's got to be expressed on a daily basis. This is important, not only for the athletic director, but for all the staff that are working in the program. They have to be able to articulate what this thing is. And then once that vision is set, or that strategic plan is set for the athletic department, the rest of the campus has to get involved in it. They've got to have buy-in. They've got to have an active part in the process. So that if somebody asks the chancellor or a vice chancellor, if somebody asks somebody that's in a key position, what is the strategic plan of athletics, they can articulate it. They can communicate it. So the buy-in is central to all of this. We've established the plan. It's in cohesion with the campus mission. It's going to be communicated, but now we've got everybody believing in it. We've got everybody moving in the same direction to try to get this done. And it really can create great synergy. It can allow people to resonate with each other, and it can allow people to say, hey, this is what we're really going to be about, and this is the next step that we're ultimately going to take. And the steps can be short-term, they can also be long-term, but it's ultimately keeping you focused on the prize that's ahead. Then at the end of this, we're going to say, well, we got to be all evaluated. We got to be able to say, how are we going to address some issues? How are we going to change some of these things? What are those things going to have to be for us to be able to transform ourselves through this process? Because the one that we develop in the next couple months here is going to look a little bit different 2 years, 3 years, 5 years from now. We have to be able to evaluate it. We have to make it fluid. We have to make it transparent. And we have to be able to put it all together so that it can move with the times. The culture is point number two for me. an issue that we as a group need to really address. And what it involves is an athletic team, a group of coaches, staff, student athletes who are on the bus for the right reason, who believe in one another, and who are the right people. The people who can put forth the mission and the strategic plan of the athletic department. That's number one goal of establishing a culture. The second one is once this group is formulated, it's necessary that this group sets high expectations for one another. It can happen from the athletic director, but it's most effective if it happens internally, where the individual entities in and of themselves are able to say, here's what strategic success is to us. Here's what academic success is to us. Here's what personal and professional integrity is to me. And here's how we can get this done to help fulfill the strategic plan, which then in turn builds the mission of the campus. So those expectations can happen not only by the athletic director, but can happen internally with the staff. It can happen with one program having a very successful season and then sustaining that, and all the rest find a way to rise with that tide because the expectations have risen. The culture has changed. We're now going to go through the assessing, the evaluating, and then ultimately holding people accountable. But I think what happens at the end of this process is probably the most important, is that we're going to reward people for proper development of this and for fulfilling these goals and these expectations. They can come in a lot of different ways. Some ways it may be just me going up to the person saying, you know what, you've had a wonderful season. You've been a great ambassador for this institution. Look at all the things that you've done. That's a real simple one. Another one is a simple handwritten note. Another one is to be able to introduce that coach in that program at the halftime of an event. Another one is to get them out there to the chancellor's house. Like last night, one of our teams were from UWM was with your chancellor. Those are simple rewards. There are donors out there that want to reward programs. We live in a society where people are rewarded through monetary means, but that provides incentive for them. That can be done as well. We can create models to reward people. Obviously, we have to hold them accountable. If people don't fulfill those, we've got to address some situations. But reward structures can help people. They can help create a culture. But there's also a balancing act. There's a balancing act between the rewards outweighing the actual inherent motivation and driven of an individual to be a part of the culture. So ultimately, we're going to preach teamwork. We're going to preach that we are a collective group, that we're in this together, that we're all going to be one and the same, and we're going to grow together. We're also going to struggle together. And so ultimately, if we get that buy-in from everybody, the culture can shift, the culture can change, the culture can grow. With regard to our athletic facilities, we need to really look long and hard at that here at UWM. At Whitewater, I started in 2004, and we established a facility task force. After 6 months of being on the job, we had from the state, we had $550,000 sitting in an account waiting to be used for a resurfacing of a track project. We asked the state if they would give us permission to take that money and hold it until we did a facility master plan, until we developed a comprehensive approach. Similar to what you're doing now, you have money set aside from the students who have graciously given of their resources to help put money aside so that a plan can be put into place to develop a long-term approach to facilities. That's simply what we did at Whitewater. And then basically, we had that money sitting there. The facility task force did listening sessions. They analyzed the data. They put it all together, developed a six-year athletic prioritization plan for facilities. We then took all the needs. We took our priorities, which meant we had some sports that had higher needs than others. We also looked at our strategic plan. So we have some sports that are going to be given more attention because of their attention and the focus that we have to have on them. And then we said, all right, we're starting with $550,000. What are we going to do next? Well, the next approach was the students on our campus. We went to the students, and as a result of this plan, we were able to get $4.4 million for them to renovate our track soccer complex, our softball complex, and our baseball facility. And we did it over a four-year period of time. And the students bought into it because they're enthusiastic about the level of pride that it gave to them and being a part of something that was exciting. Now, obviously, they got to use it for intramurals and rec sports and other uses, but they got to come and enjoy it as they watched teams compete for regional and national championships. So basically, when that process was done, we knew that we had the student money, the state money, but we also had to surround ourselves with the corporate support and the private support. And that's when you can go out and say, look, we already have this much money in the bank. Can you help us close the deal? Can you help us finish this off? So we were able to set timelines. We were able to set goals. We were able to identify how we're going to get things done based on the availability of funds. And it was an extremely rewarding process for us, but that's exactly what UWM needs at this time. They need to take a step back and say, okay, let's do a feasibility study of all this. Let's identify all the different things that we have as needs. Let's identify where we have space available to do this, and let's put it into place. And it's got to coincide with the campus plan. It's got to coincide with that plan, because that plan has to go to the building commission and on up to the Board of Regents. And it's got to fall within that systematic structure. So at Whitewater, we've understood that. We've been extremely successful at that in building, essentially, our facility model. So Milwaukee's in this current position right now, and it's a great time. It's an exciting time because of what can come next, because of what's available for each of you. Lastly, and quite frank, most importantly is going to be the development of revenue, the strategic development of revenue. And I say strategic because I'm not talking simply about just saying, okay, we got to go out and raise $500,000, let's find our four or five donors and let's go talk to them. No, that's the wrong way to do it. The way to do it is to take a step back and say, okay, let's do a SWOT analysis. Let's look at our strengths, our weaknesses, our opportunities, and our threats. And let's identify all of our different revenue streams. We can have revenue through the state, through the GPR funding process, and obviously that can be very unstable, given that we have new government in place, and given that we have a state economic situation that's rather difficult. So we have to be aware of that. We also have student fee process. Our students are instrumental on our campuses in the state system to be able to generate the program revenue we need to be able to support our programs. The students are the engine that drives the athletic department. Without them, we can't have facilities. Without them, we can't have programs. And with either of those two, we can't have success. And without either of those, we can't have a program that brings pride to the institution. The students are central to all that. We can also look at our corporate partnerships. We can look at the alumni, the donors, our ticket revenue that we're generating from some of our sports. And each of these different things that we are able to analyze, it will ultimately help us as we say, okay, this is what our need is, this is what we have available, where are we short, and how do we take the next step that's strategic? Okay? Good example at UW-Whitewater with ticket sales. We had a situation where we knew our football program was very successful. We wanted to take advantage of that success. We established 3 years ago a thing called Planet Purple. All of our freshmen on campus come to campus before school starts, and they go into our field house and they have a pep rally. Then they move all 2,500 of the freshmen onto a row that marches up to the football stadium. At the football stadium, at the dark of night with the lights on and the scoreboard on, we run all of them out to the field so they get their picture on the scoreboard. They're moving into the bleachers. We have the band playing. It's a big pep rally for them. We share with them that this is the arena that athletics competes in. We got them to be familiar with the athletic arena so that they knew what we were about. They also knew what they could do to be a part of the excitement. They then left and went down and painted a road that was about a quarter mile long, all purple. So we established a tradition on a campus similar to UWM that's considered a commuter campus. We built this sound base so that we could have people that really want to be there and want to tie into the pride that's available in the athletic department. A couple weeks later, we introduced those same students to Family Day activity. So we sold Family Day tickets for individuals that wanted to come to that football game. The game started at 3 o'clock. It was about 70 degrees that day. We drew in our largest crowd ever of 12,400 people for a Family Day activity. In 1 year alone, we went from generating $55,000 in revenue off of football to close to $100,000, just because we did a couple things different with our ticket sales, with our opportunities to generate interest, and obviously we had some success. But there are some things that you can do that can take each of these different areas, unturn those stones, and help create some other revenue bases. So in this model here, you know, the state system is not going to be pretty. There's going to be some things that will have to be addressed there. The students have out-of-state tuition fees. They have in-state fees that they're going to pay. Or some of their segregated fees are high enough. They don't want to go any further. So the students are tapped out. So now we need to look to corporate sponsorships, alumni, donors, potentially ticket sales, some concession opportunities that are out there. Look to find these sources. That's what's going to be the strategy of this athletic department if it's going to take the next steps and try to advance itself. Whether I'm here or not, that's going to be a key point of the future. So as this program is developed, it's got to have the campus involved. And that's really important to this. The campus has to recognize that it exists, which I believe that they do. The campus has to be able to say, you know, we understand that it's there. How can we help? And then ultimately, there's got to be a prioritization that takes place. Okay? Where are we going to start? What's going to be our process that we're going to take? And through this process, we're establishing benchmarks, things that we want to do that are going to get us there. And it may involve the students again. It may involve corporate sponsorships at a higher level than they currently are. It may involve our alumni and our donors. All those things are going to be a part of this comprehensive approach. And then ultimately, we're going to set a standard to accomplish the goal. Let's see where we're at in 1 year. Let's see where we're at in 5 years. And let's move this process forward as we try to address these things. So I've gone through those four different areas that I truly believe are central to UWM and your position right now. But as I go to the success in a competitive environment, there are some things that I really think that are going to have to be done here, and quite frankly at any institution if the growth is going to happen. First and foremost, for athletics to succeed, there's got to be a group of people that embrace the academic mission of the campus. They got to understand it. They got to believe in it. They got to be a part of it. And that is a unique opportunity for coaches and staff to integrate themselves into campus life so that they are supported, that are part of the process, and that they are really embraced by the campus. And that's one of the things that I've really worked hard at UW-Whitewater and at UW-La Crosse. I said, what can we do in athletics to reach out to campus? Well, the first thing is you got to know the mission. You got to know what the campus wants to get done. Second is that in athletics, you've got to be able to identify the brand and advance the brand. That comes by creating some kind of product. That comes by developing a reason for the students to get involved and to care. Get the community involved. And then ultimately promote it. And it comes on a daily, regular basis. And that brand means just by what you wear on a regular basis. It also means what the student-athletes wear. It means what the student-athletes do for their community service activities. It means what the coaches do in their off time, where they're spending their time and how they're supporting one another and how they're supporting campus activities. Next would be the development of programs. This is a central piece to really the athletic department getting its ship in order and being able to grow. It's looking at the necessary resources and allocating those out to the sport programs in appropriate ways, meaning set high standards to have outcomes that we want to have the coaches accomplish. It means mentoring and supporting them, being a partner with them, working collaboratively with them to solve problems that the administration may have or the problems that the programs may have. And then lastly, the development of programs happens with accessible and present administration. People that truly care, people that are going to go in the swimming pool, that are going to go to the track, that are going to go to a cross-country course, that are going to go to an off-campus venue and be a part of what's happening in the program. Next is we need to be able to address our facilities. We need to be able to say, what are our goals? Do we want to generate revenue? Or do we want to have access for our students? Where are our student-athletes in all of this? What kind of welfare do we want to provide for them that can be distributed across the board to all programs and can really help our total program develop? And then a part of these facilities we have to establish is where are our priorities going to lie? What's going to be central to what we're doing? What's going to be first and foremost? next and central to you all here and to this program, and it's going to be to ask some tough questions. What are we doing wrong, or how do we get to the current situation that we're in? What are our next steps? Our next steps on campus, our next steps in the community. We're going to review this regularly, once a week, if you will, or once a month, if you will. And we've got short-term and long-term needs that are going to come up because athletics is not a static environment. Athletics is dynamic. It's the most dynamic environment you're ever going to find. It's changing all the time. So there's going to have to be a contingency in place to understand the short-term issues and be able to address them, but also be able to address the long-term. Then we have the internal revenue sources, which are students, which could be looked at as the state, it could be the campus. We've also got external, which are the ticket revenue and corporate sponsorships, alumni, and those types of things. Another area that's key to this position, that's key to the athletic department, is being able to fundraise. I did my doctoral dissertation on athletic fundraising, and the first thing that I found in that dissertation is that in order to be successful, you must be able to collaborate with the foundation of the institution. You must be able to partner with them to create a plan that's comprehensive and strategic. Because the last thing that a donor wants is to sit down in a meeting with the athletic director on a Tuesday and the development office on a Wednesday and have two different things asked of that donor. Double dipping is the root of all evil. It's a huge problem. And you can head it off the past by going in and meeting with the development office on a regular basis and addressing that need. The donor base needs to be identified. I had a meeting with the vice chancellor here this morning, and she shared with me that the donor base is very small in athletics here at UWL. We need to identify a donor base that's really interested. The fun thing about it is 75% of your alumni live really close to UWL. They're close. They're not far away. We can build relationships with them. We can determine what their value is to give back to athletics. Because they're out there. They're waiting to be found, and they're waiting to be asked. And then ultimately, after that relationship is built and developed, we need to be able to close the deal. I need to be able, as an athletic director, to close the deal. I need to be able to go on and say, we need this much money in order to support our program. When I was hired at UW-Whitewater in 2004, the very first day after I got the job at Whitewater, I had a meeting with one of our most influential donors in town. He called me yesterday and said, so, I hear you're going up to UW-Milwaukee. And he said, well, good for you, Paul. He said, I remember the day we met back in 2004, and I just want you to know that the day you started and to now, everything you said you were going to do, you've aspired to do, and you've done. He's given our institution over $5.5 million, and half of that is gone to athletics in a short period of time here. He became a partner. We built a relationship with him. We found out what his value was in athletics. Now, he loves football, so he's going to drive football. But I, as an administrator, had to find a way because football is one driver for us, but we've got 19 other sport programs that have needs as well. Find a way to understand what makes him tick. And that comes by knowing the person. It doesn't come by just an overnight meeting. It doesn't come by just a phone call. It comes by day after day after day of building this relationship and going out to eat when you're tired and you don't want to, or going out on a Sunday night with them and his wife. You know, that's relationships. That's what it's really all about. And that's what's going to be central to this person here who's going to be able to build this donor base. Lastly, and probably most importantly to me, is operating with integrity. The athletic director, the athletic department, has to understand NCAA and Horizon League rules. They must surpass expectations when it comes to compliance and gender equity. That is a core belief of mine. The person must really understand all that is a part of the NCAA and the Horizon League, but take it to the next level. And in doing that, they've got to be able to build a culturally diverse environment, embrace it, be celebratory during that interaction. And then lastly is to provide a quality experience to the student-athlete. That's really what having integrity is. It's providing a quality experience to the student-athlete. And that's what, to me, is what puts this whole thing together. Embracing the mission, being able to fundraise, being able to strategize, being able to support the coaches and work collaboratively with them. If you got all those in place, that's great, but they mean nothing if you don't have integrity. They mean nothing if you can't do this all to provide for the student-athlete that's going to be under your care. So as I transition, the question that I need to present to you is why Milwaukee? Why am I interested in this position? Well, first and foremost, athletics has been a part of my life as long as I can remember. And being at UW-Milwaukee will provide me with an opportunity to put forth my mission, which is to transform the lives of others and to make a difference. It's truly what I believe. Now, I have an understanding of the student-athlete's life. I know what the requirements that they have, the demands that they have. I understand that they're going to have a lot of rewards, but they're going to also have a lot of disappointments. The educational and professional experiences that I've had have allowed me the strategic planning, the vision creation, the aligning of resources for competitive success, the building and renovating facilities. Those are things that have been set up for me in the past and are waiting to be done at UWM. I have a strong understanding of the system, being that I've been at two institutions now, understanding the budgets, the policies and procedures, understanding how to work through and navigate the system. At UW-Whitewater, we've won the All Sports Award 2 out of the last 3 years. We've been in the top 15 of the Director's Cup the last 3 years. Our highest was 6th in 2007-08. We've hired and retained all of our coaches. My first 3 years, we had to make some transitions, but since 2007, we haven't had any of our head coaches leave. Building sound relationships with campus, community, and state personnel and other entities has also been something that I've done. These are things that, as I look at UW-Milwaukee, are things that attract me to this job, are things that are needed here. Being able to develop and lead programs so that they can aspire towards conference and national success. Being able to hire and retain successful coaches. Being able to build sound relationships with people. You all have an ideal mixture of sport programs. 15 sport programs, 300 student-athletes. You've got a wealth of experience in your coaching staff. You've got a wonderful administrative team. Your geographic location is ideal to me and my wife. I look at this as being a sleeping giant in a lot of ways. As an institution that is ready to take some significant steps. And that starts at the top with your chancellor. It goes all the way to the student-athletes and the students on our campus and on into the community. There is a need right now for a strategic plan, and that's really attractive to me. That's attractive because you're all hungry for that. I'm a Midwest person. I grew up in South Minneapolis. The farthest away I went from home was University of Illinois. I ended up going back to Minnesota to get my PhD, and lacrosse and Whitewater have been the farthest I've been away I've been. My wife's family lives in Decatur, Illinois. My parents reside in Minnesota. In the winters, they take their time and go to Palm Springs, California. But other than that, I'm a Midwest person. I love UW system. I understand there's some major trials and tribulations going on right now, but the state system has some wonderful assets and some great people. So, in conclusion, I just share with you that I'm here with excitement, and I'm looking forward to addressing or answering any questions that you may have. Yes?
I'll let me launch it. Eric Sander, recently retired faculty member after the school year. I'm very impressed with your resume, Dr. Klinsky.
Thank you, Erica.
Man, call you Paul.
Yes.
Thank you. But there's one lingering concern, and when you were talking about budget and what you've done at Whitewater, two elements, budget and media markets, and how that plays out. And it's very important for us to have somebody here that recognizes less than 10% of the total budget is GPR and won't change.
Right.
And that said fees have got to stop going up because tuition is going up, which means, obviously, we've got other program revenue streams. So there's that element. Then there's the media market. We're not the only game in town.
Right.
Whitewater, you're blessed. you know, Marty Van Steenren is a good friend. There's a name that should be familiar. And over the years, I've known her since the 70s. I know what it's like in Whitewater. Mm-hmm. And it's the only game in town, and there's this enthusiasm. Here, it's a little different context. And we are Division I. You've primarily had administrative experience at comprehensive universities. It's very successful. How do you see yourself transitioning to D1 and the D1 culture?
Okay. Well, Erica, wonderful.
What do you have to offer?
I appreciate your enthusiasm very much. You are very passionate and understanding of UW-Milwaukee, and I am thankful that you asked that question. The experiences that I've had at UW-Whitewater and at UW-La Crosse have really prepared me administratively and through the state system that I've tried to portray here. But one of the things I'd like to share with you that I feel I'm essentially going back to Division I. Being at University of Minnesota and University of Illinois, all those were experiences that for 5 years I was in those different hats that I wore. I was exposed to things that created a model for me in my own mind of what it takes to be in Division I athletics. And at Illinois, I learned how to recruit top Division I athletes to be able to participate at that level. At University of Minnesota, I understood and learned how to do the fundraising, the event management that was required at those levels. For me, University of Wisconsin-Whitewater operates as close to a Division I program as you're ever going to find. So for us to, for me to be able to transition here, my biggest obstacle is going to be having to overcome the perception that's there that I'm a Division III person. When really, I'm a Division I person in a Division III body, is the way I look at it. Is that I am in a Division III institution right now that we have aspired to take to high levels, to levels that are similar to a Division I institution. So yes, you're correct in that we are the only game in town. However, when we had that 12,000 people that were at our football game, we did an economic study as a result of that, and we identified that the economic impact on that community was not from the folks in the town, it was from people coming in from all over. And Marty Vann Sr. started this for us with Forrest Perkins. They'd established this because they built facilities. They had a vision that was bigger and broader than 5 and 10 years. It was 30 to 50 years in length. And I had a chance to meet her this summer for the first time after corresponding with her for years and years via email. And she taught me that through our correspondence and through the time that we had a chance to spend time with each other this summer. But really, that for me, this is an opportunity at UWM that is very similar to UW-Whitewater in that we walk into a place that's a commuter school. It's an opportunity to build strong pride in what's going on here. It's an opportunity to take everything to the next level, similar to what we did at Whitewater. Based, and for me, it's all the things that I've been a part of at Illinois, Minnesota, and La Crosse and Whitewater. And so I come here with great confidence in the abilities that I have and the abilities of the staff that are currently in place. I'm not going to come here as a know-it-all. I'm going to come in here as a humble servant, ready to learn from the people that are already here, that have been here for 15 and 20 years, and be able to understand what works, and be able to say, okay, this is what works, this is what doesn't work, here's what I've seen in other places, here's what I can help to bring this whole thing together. Because this is a team approach. This is not the Paul Plinsky show. This is not what worked at UW-Whitewater is going to work at UWM. It's about what works at UWM. And it's about the people that are here and being able to support them in their quest to bring this to the next level.
Thank you, Paul.
Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Cindy Sokol. I'm a member of the Athletic Board and have been for a number of years. In your experience, what kinds of relationships do you cultivate with the athletic board and with faculty more broadly so as to support student-athlete well-being?
Well, the first thing is that we have an inclusive athletic committee in the institutions that I've been a part of that we've met with on a regular basis to address issues of compliance, gender equity, and primarily the interaction of the student-athlete with the faculty. And one of the things we've identified as we've elevated our programs is that because of that, we've had greater needs for academic support systems in place. So we went out and partnered first with the deans of all the colleges and said, we need help. We need to be able to have our student athletes get that assistance that they need in the classroom. And so we set up a tutorial service plan for all of our student athletes. Second of all is we took the next step with academic advising being an office that was established on campus. And now we have two academic advisors that work specifically with the collegiate student athlete. And then lastly, and probably most importantly, is myself and our senior woman administrator, we go to faculty senate meetings. We interact with the faculty. We have two faculty athletic representatives. We meet with them regularly to go through legislation and to talk about various issues in college athletics and the struggles that the student athletes have. But it was 4 years ago that I worked with two other Division III institutions on developing a model for integrating college athletics onto campus life. And the central to that, the focus of that, was to get the student athlete embedded into the college athletic experience. Now, college athletics isn't alone all by itself, but college athletics is there for higher education and to aspire towards graduation. And so we interact regularly with our faculty. And I had a case in point that happened 3 weeks ago. We have an excuse absence form for our student athletes. So if they're going to be missing class for an athletic competition, then they're excused. Well, we had a student athlete take one of those from a couple of years prior. I'm not sure how the person got that. Gave it to a faculty member and said, I will not be here for a period of a week because we have athletic competition. That faculty member contacted me directly. And I did some research and found out that the student athlete used that excused absence form to go see her significant other for a 5-year period of time. That student athlete was a national champion. That student athlete is no longer a part of our athletic program. We don't believe, and I'm going back to personal and professional integrity, that we want our student athletes exemplifying that kind of behavior, that kind of activity. So we partner with the faculty. And that faculty was really surprised that we did that. But we want to make sure that we hold a high standard for our student athletes and that we continue to raise our GPAs. And the faculty are instrumental in that, and they've got to be able to support us. But we also have to be able to have academic support and tutorial services and the deans a part of that mix, too. So we do things like Faculty Appreciation Day. We have days where we do an All Sports Award. We have the Chancellor Scholar Athlete Awards. We do all these that we get the faculty invited to these events so that they can be a part of what we're doing and they can understand us and vice versa. Yes?
A quick follow-up. One thing that's always intrigued me is the student element of student-athlete in recruitment, D1. Your thoughts on that? Coaches use different approaches in recruitment. Some value the athletic piece and then, oh, by the way, the student piece. And I'm not accusing any of our colleagues, please. And vice versa. How do you come down on that? Because, occasionally when I was still teaching, there'd be a student athlete who was struggling more. And we'd get them the support, and, they were able to matriculate and so forth. They didn't flunk out or anything bizarre.
Well, first and foremost, I believe that student athletes will come to school because of three things: facilities, coaching staff, and a tradition of success. And that's got to be sold. For some programs, there may be strengths in one of those three areas. Some sports, the coaches are the drawing piece, and that's why the student athlete would come to the program. Other places, it's the facilities that they'll come for. Other places, just because, hey, I hear that they're pretty good. Let's go there. But within each of those three things and within the actual recruitment process, which is developing a relationship, which is reaching out to these student athletes, is to finding out their strengths and weaknesses, finding out what they need to be able to articulate through the process and get to graduation. And for some of that will require more academic emphasis. For some, it will require hardly any, and now it's just a matter of surrounding themselves with perhaps the sports medicine care that they need, or the rehabilitative care that they need, or some counseling services that they need, or to be able to help them with their execution on the game floor. So it's really all independent of the individual, and it's all based upon their skill set and what they actually need to be able to succeed here at this institution. So it's really selling the whole package in an individualistic type of way to allow that person to be successful. Now, this institution doesn't have football. Football has 100 student athletes. That's almost impossible to manage without a large staff. Here you've got a really nice mix with the sport programs you have and the head coach or assistant coach to student athlete ratio. There can be that interaction to identify what assistance is needed for these individuals so that they can move on towards graduation and be healthy and well while they're doing so. Got about 5 minutes left, it looks like. I'm curious to know, we have a couple individuals that look like they're students on campus. What brought you forward to this meeting?
I usually sleep here at this time. Okay. No, I'm kidding.
He said he usually sleeps here at this time, Scott. Just so you know.
I'm very interested in the future of athletics. I'm glad that you're involving us. I talk to a lot of people, a lot of students that care or don't care about athletics. I ask them why. And personally, it doesn't change anything for me, but football is very important to them. And I know that it's a long time coming, even if it ever would be, but what would your thoughts be for that here?
Well, it's interesting that you ask that, because all you have to do is go on the Journal Sentinel online and look under the announcement of the three candidates for this position, and there's over 41 comments about this position, and the majority of them are football. Let's add football at UWM. People ask me all the time, Whitewater, why don't you guys go Division II or I? Well, one of the things we have to keep in mind as we look at all these different things is that, first and foremost to me as an athletic director, is we have an organization right now that is calling for our need, that is central to our focus. And that organizational structure needs to be looked at and be put in a position to be successful. So that's first and foremost before we can ever talk about additions or deletions or any of those types of things. And second of all is that we are in an interesting economic time that permeates to the State Board of Regents and their need to address tuition, their need to address, you know, the budget situation. And so our governor and the president of UW System are both in a difficult position. So if UWM were to make this step and to go up to the Board of Regents with this proposal, there needs to be a lot of pieces put into place. And for me, it doesn't make sense to engage in that, because we're in a position right now where we need to take care of what's in place right now. And we need to address the current state of the program and bolster all the programs that we have, because we're awfully close here right now. The addition of a sport of football, yeah, granted it can do tremendous things, and as you say, the people would care if it was here, but at the same time, that's not who UW-Milwaukee is right now. So the campus and the community as a whole have to be able to have a comprehensive conversation about that. That takes time, because there's got to be major investments on the staffing, on where you're going to get the student athletes from, where you're going to get the facility to play. You know, who are you going to compete against? You know, there's a lot of issues that aren't just related to UWM, but they're the Board of Regents, they're the Horizon League, they're the NCAA. There's a lot of stuff that's out there, and it's awfully exciting to talk about, but it doesn't make sense if we don't have our ship in order.
Thank you.
Anyone else? One last question? Well done. Well, thank you, Dr. Klinsky.
Thank you.
And if you're not able to join another meeting later, I know some of you will, there will be a call out to the community to give feedback. And if you don't receive anything by the end of the week, please send me a note and I'll be sure that gets to you. If you aren't sure how to reach me, go to our website and you can find me. My name is Kathy Litzau again. All right, thank you, everyone.
Thank you.